When you're working on your mental health, sometimes the smallest rituals make the biggest difference. That's why we love Three Spirit, award-winning non-alcoholic elixirs designed by plant scientists and bartenders to help you feel good in every sense. Each blend has its own mood. Social Elixir helps you to connect and feel uplifted. Livener brings energy and focus without the crash. And Nightcap soothes your mind and body into real rest. Instead of numbing out, these drinks help you tune in, whether you need connection, energy, or calm. Head to us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the code THISWAYIN for 15% off your first order. Three Spirit, crafted for your mind, body, and balance. Welcome to today's episode in our series on the parts of self. Today we're talking about kid parts and getting to know the most authentic parts of self. We talked about understanding what the kid part looks like. We've talked about burdened kid parts versus unburdened kid parts. We gave some examples. What else, Brittany?
We talked about the good things and not so good things about kid parts and how they can really kind of hold us back from living our lives authentically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And we brought up a certain movie star that we talked about maybe a little bit too much, but that's okay.
Yeah.
never
I think you'll enjoy it.
Really.
Yeah. No, not with him.
So this way in to your kid part.
So our kid parts of self, they are the ones that really like to have fun and joke and play. And when we're in our kid parts, we're in our element. So I'm just curious, Amy, what do you like to do for fun?
I like to do anything that makes me laugh. I like to go to comedy clubs. I like to watch funny TV shows and movies. I like to just go do silly stuff like, you know, play games or you know, usually hanging out with a bunch of people. But if I'm all by myself, I'm fine just watching TV too. But, you know, things like that. Or watching my dog play. That's fun. I laugh at her all the time.
Which one?
Vivian. We have a little ball that's actually a cat toy. I'll show it to you. You might like it for your cats. It's
sure.
A little ball that lights up and it spins around. And it's got a little tail hanging off of it. So it looks like something they would chase.
Yeah.
And since Vivian is a Yorkie and she's, she's bred for being a ratter. She loves to chase little animals like chipmunks and bunnies and stuff like that in the yard. So she loves this thing and she goes nutso over it. And she picks it up and shakes it like she's trying to kill it. And it's hilarious.
That's adorable.
So you just charge it and then it has lights and it makes a little whirring sound and it runs all over back and forth. And it's endless joy watching her do it. But I can't let her do it for too long because she won't stop. And then she stops and goes. So I have to control that. But
that is too cute.
It's a really cute toy. You'd like it for your cats, I think, if they like to play with things like that.
Oh, yeah. That would be too much fun. Yeah. So something like this, I absolutely love, too. Like, I know we could probably geek out about this all day long. And this is both of our kid parts here.
Yeah.
And it's good. It feels great. We like to laugh. It's fun to talk about this. We're both more animated.
Right.
Totally our kid parts here. Yeah. Some other things I really like to do, watch cartoons. I don't care how old I get. I will always watch cartoons, especially South Park. I can't stop talking about it. It came out when I was a kid and I've loved it ever since. So I really just like to have fun as well. Get together with friends or just hang out and just play video games out in nature. We have sorts of wildlife around our house. One day there was a wild turkey and a Bambi, and they were playing together. And my husband watched. It was adorable.
I've never seen those two interact. We have both of those in our yard, too.
Oh, wow. Really? That's crazy.
Yeah. My next door neighbor had a mama deer, a baby deer, playing in a puddle in her backyard. And she took a video of it. They were playing together in this puddle. And it was the cutest thing. And she sent it to me. And I was just like, I almost cried. It was so sweet.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's definitely I'll just send you that video. Maybe I can post it
Oh,
on our website or something too.
yeah, that'd be fantastic. I would love to watch that.
Yeah, it's so
Man.
cute.
Yeah. So our kid parts are one of the best parts of ourselves, I tend to think, because it really makes up the core of who we are. Our kid parts are the most authentic parts of us. It's our likes, our wants, our dreams, our desires that all come from our kid parts, really. Our adult parts, like logical, responsible, all of those other parts, they have wants and dreams and desires too, but it's our kid parts that really fuel them. So when you were actually a kid, did you have big dreams of like what you were going to be and where you're going to go and what you were going to do when you grew up?
Oh sure. I thought I was going to be a movie star.
Ah.
And I also we went out to eat a lot. My family, my parents and I went out to eat a lot. And so to me, our server, which was almost always a woman, was kind of a movie star to me. They were like a famous person to me. And so I always aspired to either be a waitress or a movie star, which as it turns out, most people who are one are the other as well. So,
Yeah.
I never did either of those things.
That's okay.
But when I was little, that's what I wanted. I thought, oh, they're like, because they come to the table and they talk to you about stuff and da da da. And I guess a teacher is kind of like that. And I was a
Oh.
teacher a little bit, so I guess it's kind of the same thing. But I never
Kind
saw
of.
my teachers as like royalty, like I did servers in restaurants. But
It's so funny.
yeah.
I love that.
How about
Wow.
you?
Oh, good question. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist because I loved ancient Egypt.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know what ancient Egypt was when I was a kid. That's great.
Yeah. You know, as I grew up, I realized that archaeology is probably more paperwork and grunt work than exciting Indiana Jones stuff.
Right. Probably. See, I would have liked the paperwork part.
Ah.
We could have been a good team together.
Ooh, I love that. I think we're a good team as it is already.
I think so too.
That's
For sure.
fantastic. Yeah. So even though we didn't set out to do these big dreams we had when we were kids, it's still probably there in the back of our minds, like, oh yeah, that's still a nice thought. Like, oh,
Yeah,
that might
sure.
be something to do someday, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. So our kid parts, even though we're both grown-ass adults, are alive and well. And that's what we want. We want our kid parts to be alive and well and a robust part of who we are. If we hold our kid parts back, whether we're embarrassed or kid parts are really burdened or whatever, which we'll get into more of, it doesn't really lend itself for us to be who we really are. So our burdened kid parts tend to be more shy and hesitant, like, I don't know if I should say anything here. I'm just going to sit back and watch. And when this happens, we are not really being ourselves. Have you had any moments like that?
Yeah, I was actually a very shy kid. I grew up with people in the theater, and that's
Yeah.
probably why I wanted to be a movie star. And well, both of my parents idolized movie stars too, so I, of course I wanted, to be something like that. But
Oh.
I was too shy to do any of it. I was too shy to. I loved singing and dancing, but not in front of anybody. I did it in front of my mirror at home all day. And could do it in front of my parents and some of my other family members. But for the most part, I didn't want anybody watching me. I wanted to do it, but I didn't want anyone watching me. So it was, and I think it was a fear of being corrected, especially because my mom was a dance teacher. If I'm dancing and I
Oh.
do it wrong, she could say, you really should turn your foot out there or whatever. And I would take that as, oh my God, I screwed up. Instead of, oh, okay, I'll do it that way.
Right.
I always internalized it as something bad that I did something bad. And so I think I was very shy. I was always afraid to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or be embarrassed by something I had done. So I was very withdrawn as a little kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's pretty typical. I've had a lot of experiences like that too, especially with some family members that are a lot more like boisterous and loud and stuff. And I was always the one that kind of just sat back in the background, just watch people do their thing, and I didn't really get a word in edgewise. And that's kind of how I grew up with everything. of course, there's a part of me that's like, I want to be in the spotlight and stuff like that. And so I was in like plays and musicals. I was in band and choir and that kind of stuff. And there are moments where I'm like, yeah, I want to be front and center and I want to be the star of this. And most of the time I'm like, I just want to fade into the background and just be part of the group. And so that's two different kid parts right there. One kid part that was actually the star of one of the musicals in seventh grade, which is not that big of a deal. Not quite the star, but you know, anyway. but just like wanting to slink into the background, burdened kid part. So the kid parts of us that are front and center, that are boisterous, that want to be out there and put on a show for people and just be our authentic selves, those are unburdened kid parts. These kid parts don't have junk from the past or like, oh, I'm going to screw up kind of thoughts holding us back. Unburdened kid parts are just free to do what they want and have fun and no fear, really. If I think of anybody in pop culture who is like the embodiment of unburdened kid part, it's Paul Rudd.
I know. I love him. He's my movie star boyfriend.
Oh gosh, my whole life. Yeah, totally.
He's so great. He's so much fun to watch. And you feel like a kid watching him do
Yes.
that funny stuff. You know, I know he's
Yeah.
got some dark roles, and there's a movie out now that he's got. I haven't seen it yet, but that he's it's kind of dark. But for the most part, anything he's in, he's just blah, 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 you know, like literally walking around like that, you know, and it's just joyful to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he always has this spark, this twinkle in his eye. No, no matter the party he's playing, you can just see that kid part in him just dying to come out and have fun. And no matter how old he gets, he's ageless. Like he does not
I know.
age.
I know. I know. You watch his older movies like Wet Hot American Summer, which was like, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. He looks exactly the same. Everybody
Pretty
else has
much.
changed. He looks exactly the same. I think he and Rob Lowe have some sort of deal with the devil or something where they just get better looking and really don't change much at all.
I'm with you. Rob Lowe's a good example of unburdened kid part, especially I don't know if you watch Parks and Rec, but I love him in that. Oh, so good.
Yeah, he's
And
good too.
the example you gave of Paul Rudd even doing more serious roles and whatnot, like you can still see that kid part in him.
Yeah,
It's
just a
always
little
there.
twinkle. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we want. We want that. That tells us that we are healthy enough. That other parts of self, like critical protector parts, aren't running the show all the time. We want our kid parts to come out and play. However, if a lot of our kid parts are burdened, and these are the parts that are hanging on to junk from the past, negative cognitions, like I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, no one likes me, I could go on. These burdened kid parts are just saddled with all of this junk, and they're kind of stuck emotionally, mentally, physically in the past. When I say stuck in the past, the way the brain works is with these different neural networks and neural pathways, if we don't get new information to neural networks that had old information, essentially, like if we don't record over the videotape, it still has that stuff from the 80s or whatever age, time frame you were as a kid. That stays stuck in time. And the parts of self, it's not just kid parts that get stuck in time, but especially kid parts, the ones that get stuck in the past, don't realize I'm older now. I can defend myself. I can actually do this without being criticized. They don't realize that things have changed. And so the same patterns from when we were actually little kids or bigger kids are the same patterns, even though life has changed. And that's what really makes it a burden. It's hard to be adaptive if we're in the here and now, but we're still going off of, I don't know, 1970s information. So I guess the best way I can put it is these burdened kid parts don't know what's up. And with burdened kid parts, they can come out anytime something even remotely feels similar to how they feel. For example, if one of my burdened kid parts is like, oh, I'm not good enough, if I'm having a conversation and things are fine, and then maybe you say something kind of snarky or something that I'm not expecting, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm not good enough then. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
These bird and kid parts are very, very easily triggered.
Yeah.
And then the emotion that they're hanging on to from the past comes all out in this moment. It's past junk, but it's here and now stuff.
Yeah, it still feels like it's right now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, for example, there was a time where my husband and I were kind of in an argument, and then I was like, all of a sudden, why are you being so mean to me? And that was a kid part, bird and kid part for sure. And he's like, I'm not being mean to you. Like, well, it was this critical part. He was kind of being mean, but like, I was taking it way harder than what it needed to be because, like, oh, you're being so mean. If
Yeah,
I
I've done
wasn't,
that.
yeah. If I wasn't triggered there in that moment, if I didn't have a little kid part feeling like that, it would have probably been fine. We probably would have had a more logical conversation, but I got more escalated because of that. He got more escalated, and both of our bird and kid parts were playing on, each other's triggers. And eventually we just had to
Just,
take a break,
yeah.
call it a day. Let's come back later when we're both feeling calmer.
Yeah. Of
It wasn't that calm in the moment, of course.
course. Yeah. Well, that's when emotions are high.
Yeah.
And little kids have at least display often emotions bigger than you or I at our ages do. And so I
Yes.
can see how that's the little kid coming out and making you raise your intensity of the emotion that they're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it was way more intense than it needed to be because both of us had some triggers going on. And as much as he wasn't going to show it in the moment, it was definitely little bird and kid parts on his end, too. This is when things get to be kind of explosive between people when their kid parts, both bird and are just kind of freaking out on each other. It's not just kid parts, of course, critical and protector parts get involved too, but it's always at the center of it, bird and kid parts. So the best example I could come up with for bird and kid part in pop culture essentially is Rachel Riley. So I don't know if you like to watch Big Brother or Amazing Race, mostly Big Brother. She is on a current season of Big Brother right now. I first watched her when she was on Amazing Race, and I was like, how did she win Big Brother like this? She was just crying the whole time. Like, as soon as they met any sort of difficulty, she was just like, which is her husband that she met on Big Brother. Brendan, you need to save me. And he'd be like, well, how can I save you? I'm supposed to be the knight in shining armor for you, but how can I save you? You're just freaking out. And so anytime something doesn't go her way, she's just either pissed off or she's just in tears. I can't do it. It's just too hard. Bird and kid part. Yeah. So these burdened kid parts really kind of, they don't drive what our protector and critical parts do, but they really do inform what protector and critical parts do. Because anytime a burdened kid part gets to be a little too much for protector parts, like this is too much emotion, we can't handle this, shut it down. So we tend to avoid our burden kid parts in a lot of different ways. And I'll just throw the main ways that we do this as fast as possible because this is going to get deep and we don't have to go this deep this time. So a lot of the time we just distract ourselves. Well, if I'm feeling out of sorts, well, I'm just going to play on my phone or I'm going to go play a game. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to think about something else. I'm going to go do this. Just avoid, avoid, avoid. Either by distracting or focusing on something else, or just, I'm going to go use some substances, or I'm going to go gamble, I'm going to go have some sex, whatever. People use all sorts of avoidance techniques to just avoid feeling these emotions out of burden kid part. One of my biggest avoidance tactics is, and I'm not really an avoidant person because if I have an emotion, I'm like, I'm going right to it and figure out what's going on. But if I'm going to avoid it, I'm going to play on my phone, I'm going to play video games, I'm going to put on some South Park or Bob's Burgers or some other cartoon so I can laugh instead, bring out an unburdened kid part instead. And that happens too. Like a lot of the time when things get to be too much, there's like some like class clown type people, jokesters, like always want to have fun. Like I'm thinking of a guy off the top of my head, like, oh, it's getting serious. Let's just go have fun. Let's go drink. Let's just play some hacky sack or something. It doesn't matter. Oh, this is getting too much. Let's do something else. Let's make a joke about it. You know what I mean? So that's another avoidance, distraction, deflection, whatever. And when our kid parts get to be so burdensome to the rest of our parts, then eventually our protector and critical parts just shove them to the back of the bus. And eventually, the self, which is our conscious awareness of what's going on within ourselves, doesn't even remember that that part exists anymore. And this is when things go really wrong. When we have exiles, which is an IFS term, these are parts of self that get so dissociated that again, they're not even on the bus anymore. They're like on the caboose, hanging on to
Yeah,
each.
hanging on for dear life while it's the bus is careening around. That's how I picture ones that are sent to the back.
And so when this happens, anytime whoever has had this internal dynamic happen, anytime their burden kid parts get triggered, they don't know it's them. They think, oh, you're making me feel this way. It's your fault. You're the problem. You ever had an example or not an example, an experience like that?
Yes, I have. I can't think of anything specific like that I could tell you, but I know I recognize that and that feeling and that reaction.
And we're sitting back here like, what the hell just happened? This isn't me. This is your emotion. Now, I'm not emotional. Oh, okay. I'm not emotional. You're the one who's emotional. Okay. I mean, that's their protector and critical part speaking there, but they don't even realize that it's a burden kid part feeling all these big emotions. So a lot of what we do in avoidance ends up being a defense mechanism, and it can get really entrenched and it can get really bad. And it gets to be a way of life for people sometimes. They don't even realize how much junk they're carrying around within themselves. They don't even realize how sad, scared little kid parts they have, how many sad, scared little kid parts they have. They just don't know. And that's what's unhealthy. When we have parts of self that we don't know about, especially kid parts, which are again the most authentic parts of who we are, if we don't know we have these parts, if we're not aware of them, if we're trying to consciously exile them away, that is not healthy at all. It is impossible to get internal cohesion and balance when we are consciously or unconsciously trying to exile parts of self. So, with that being said, a lot of the time when people have burden kid parts, they just don't know what to do with them. That's why they end up doing the avoidance dance or the exiling or whatever. They just don't know what to do. So, I'm gonna just review back one of our previous episodes of the purpose of emotions. These emotions are there for a reason. It's a signal to say, hey, things are cool or things aren't. If we have burden kid parts or feeling sad, scared, whatever, what's the trigger there? What's turning on the stress response for that? Well, usually it's these experiences that we have when we are little kids. Like what you were saying, your parents were performers. Maybe there were times that they wanted you to perform and you didn't. And that could have not gone well with your parents. And then you end up feeling a certain way because your parents were acting childish and they were supposed to be the adults in the room.
Yeah, definitely. My parents did want me to perform for their friends and stuff a lot. And most of the time, I did not want to do it because, like I said, I can do it in front of a mirror all day. But as soon as someone's watching, I clam up, I stop. And so, being told to dance little monkey for my parents' friends was not on my list of things I wanted to do today. And so, a lot of time, I felt really pressured to do that. And that was a really icky feeling.
Absolutely,
Because
yeah.
then the more I said, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. And they're all going, come on, get up. It's fine, get up and do it. I want to see you dance. Da, da, da. Then it also feels like, oh, I can't do it now. Because then it feels like I only did it because they told me to. It's a whole thing. So it makes it worse. It doesn't make it better. And so, yeah, definitely felt that as a little
Oh
kid.
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I felt all sorts of stuff like that too as a little kid, and our parents don't even realize what they're doing to us either.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, no, it was not, none of it was malicious. It was
No.
all, I love singing and dancing and everybody looking at me. Why don't you? You know?
Yeah,
They both
exactly.
love to be the center of attention. Not me.
Yeah. And how can you compete with that?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah,
You can't.
exactly. So that's kind of a trauma in and of itself when our parents want us, expect us to be something that we're not. And then us as little kids, and then our kid parts as we get older, kind of keep hanging on to that. Well, why wasn't I what my parents wanted? A lot of trauma work that I do really does revolve around I wasn't what my parents wanted. I didn't meet up to their expectations. They didn't treat me right because this isn't what they wanted. This is what I wanted, and they thought it was wrong, and that kind of stuff. And so we grew up with these, like, what's the phrase? Chip on our shoulder. That's our burden kid parts. And they really do steer a lot of what we do, inform, not necessarily like we're doing this. That's what our protector and critical parts do, but our kid parts will influence that a lot by what they want and what they don't want. And kid parts, as actual kids, tend to go for more of what they don't want rather than what they do want. Because if I want this, but I don't want this more, I'm going to go with what I don't want more. If I want a hug from a parent and it's just a hassle on their end, well, I'm just going to avoid that hug altogether. And then it's like, oh, I'm unlovable. Because if I want a hug and they are like, then it must be my problem. I'm unlovable. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
and then I imagine that that kid then is afraid to ask for that hug another time.
yeah. And from other people. And so they're just kind of floating along in life, just never really trying to get that sort of social connection, the physical touch, that kind of stuff. And they hold themselves back from going for it. Well, if I, you know, if I ask Joe Blow for a hug, well, he's just going to be like, too. When we're little kids, especially in a relationship with our parents, it sets the template for how we act in all of our relationships, practically, especially our romantic relationships. Because we have needs as babies, little kids, even up through teenage years, we have needs that our parents have to fill. Otherwise, we end up with chips on our shoulders, burden kid parts, negative cognitions, whatever, whatever. And again, it's not on our parents altogether because they're not perfect. They don't know what they're doing or not doing a lot of time and yada, yada. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. But this is what happens because, again, no one's perfect. We do end up with unmet needs. And a lot of times we have unmet needs for emotional safety and validation. I grew up with both my parents being boomers, and I'm going to stereotype and generalize quite a lot, but I know a lot of the boomer generation grew up with parents who were pretty stoic, like emotions. No time for, they don't exist. If you have emotions, well, I'm going to give you something to actually cry about.
Exactly.
And then in turn, boomers did that to their kids, maybe not quite as harsh, but still the same spirit. You know what I mean? I'm stereotyping, I'm generalizing, but when you grow up with emotionally invalidating parents, how does that end up? It doesn't end up well. Because again, our emotions are just signals. They say, hey, things are cool or things aren't. It's tied into our stress response. It's our body's way of saying, you need to get ready to fight, flight, or freeze. It's that simple. People don't know that. So that's kind of the whole point of all of this, especially with our kid parts. We don't know what we don't know. And how are we supposed to do something we don't know? So when we have burdened kid parts, the first thing we want to do is just first and foremost acknowledge, well, we have emotion here. And it's likely coming from a kid part. You'll know it's coming from a kid part when it feels overwhelming, when it feels really familiar, when it feels like, oh man, this is taking me back to second grade, so on and so forth. Especially if it's irrational, illogical, coming from a kid part for sure. So we want to acknowledge that, the emotion, first and foremost. Okay, I'm feeling scared because I'm being asked to perform, like give a speech at work, and I don't feel really comfortable with this because I'm bad at public speaking, and what am I going to do? And I don't know how I'm supposed to, oh, what am I going to say? And it just gets more and more intense. Okay, so just acknowledge it. All right, I'm anxious. Ooh, I'm anxious. Why am I anxious? Because I have to give a speech in front of my work. And gosh, that reminds me of that fifth grade speech I gave and it just bombed and the whole class was laughing at me. Okay, yeah, that's a kid part. Okay. All right, kid part, I feel you. I know you're there. You're anxious. I get it. I'm anxious too. We got this. We can do this, though. Let's just prepare. We'll take some deep breaths. We got this together. We got it. So, really, just acknowledge, validate, empathize. It takes literally as long as I said it just now.
Like
Under a
under
minute.
10 seconds.
Yeah. Under 10 seconds.
Well, the
Yeah.
validating part. I mean, yeah, the figuring out that it's where it's coming from, that if you add that in, it takes a little longer.
Yeah. And sometimes it does take a while to figure it out, especially the more exiled these parts of self are. And again, an exile is a part of self that we have tried to shove so far back that it might not even exist anymore. It's still there, of course, but we don't even remember it's there. So, with that being said, if you're having a harder time figuring out what are you actually feeling, then just kind of let yourself sit in the emotion. It's uncomfortable, but that's okay. It's not going to hurt any worse than you've already felt it before. This is just a rerun. Yeah. So I guess my biggest encouragement is to allow yourself to feel it. Don't avoid it. Most of us are so good at just kn that knee-jerk reaction avoidance somehow, but no, don't avoid it. Sit with it. Give yourself 10 seconds just to sit with it. If that's too much, that's okay. Do 5 seconds. Build your way up to it. The point is to, again, acknowledge and validate. We don't want to keep doing to our burden kid parts what everyone else has already done to them. Dismiss, invalidate, have no time for, say you are not good enough, or whatever. People don't actually get told by their parents you're not good enough. Some people do. Most people don't. It's usually the implications, reading between the lines, or kids will just reach the most outlandish conclusions if they don't have all the correct information.
That's right. Yep.
So again, sit with it. Acknowledge, validate. You don't even have to empathize, so that's too much. That's okay. Just acknowledge it as a first step. The more you acknowledge and validate these burden kid parts, the more they're going to trust you as the leader of your parts of self, the self, and the more it's going to be easily handled. I don't know if easily handled is the right word, but more easily handled than it was previously.
I imagine it's easier to handle something just knowing what it is
Yeah.
and naming it and being like, okay, I see now what this is, and that it is something that I am pulling from my past, and I lived through it then. I'll
Yeah.
live through it now, but now I know.
That's right. And so when we have burden kid parts and they unburden, either just spontaneously because we're living life and we're bringing them up to speed, we're in therapy, whatever, there's different ways that these burden kid parts can unburden. The more we help them unburden, the easier it is on us. Like each time we unburden a kid part, it's like taking a really heavy jacket off. Ah, that feels better. I can move around more. I'm a little more loosey-goosey. And it feels like that emotionally, relationally, that kind of stuff. Not necessarily physically, sometimes it does, but more emotionally, more relationally, more just going about through life like this feels a little smoother. And eventually, when you have most kid parts unburdened, that's when you can really feel like, yeah, I got this. I actually feel like a mature adult and I'm adulting and I don't feel like I'm just cosplaying this.
Yeah, but you can still act like a kid.
Of course, like Paul Rudd. Yes.
Yeah, just think Paul Rudd.
Yeah, how could I
Yeah, right?
not?
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. So that's really the long and short of kid parts. There's more we can get into, but I'm going to save that for other episodes because that's when kid parts start mingling with responsible parts and protector parts. And I kind of previewed that already, but just I guess a preview for next time is when our kid parts and our responsible parts don't tend to get along. That's when things can go not haywire, but make life harder because our responsible parts want to actually accomplish things and do things and be responsible. And our kid part's like, do that. That sounds like, that sucks. I don't want to do that. Like, we have all these chores to do. I don't want to do it. I want to play video games instead. We have all these, bills to pay, but I want to go play out there and spend my money and go to a concert and buy some stuff. And, so it gets to be a real inner conflict with ourselves. It also gets to be an external conflict with other people. And the biggest external conflict with other people usually happens in heterosexual relationships. Like the woman, and again, I'm stereotyping, I'm generalizing, tends to be more responsible, where the man tends to be more of the kid. Like, I'm just gonna go have fun. See you later. I'm gonna go golfing for the day, where, the woman has all these other things she has to do. I can't just go golfing.
Especially if
Because,
there's kids
yeah, especially if there's
to take
kids.
care of.
That's right. Yeah. And so that sort of builds up resentment because the woman is being so responsible all the fucking time and wants to actually have fun and relax and let her hair down, where the dude is like, oh, I just get to fuck off and have fun, and oh, I'm the breadwinner, so I can go do what I want, so that gets to be a real issue in relationships. And again, I'm generalizing, I'm stereotyping. This happens in same-sex couples. This happens in non-binary couples. This happens in throuples. I could go on. It is just a mismatch in kid part versus responsible part. So that's a preview for one of our next
For next
episodes.
time.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, thanks, Brittany. That was great.
Yeah, you're
Now I
welcome.
get to think about Paul Rudd all day.
Oh, yes. One of the best outcomes of this episode.
Paul Rudd, if you're listening, come on our show.
Yes, please. We'd love to talk to you and see that twinkle in your eye in person.
That's right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we hope you join us next time.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This Way In is a conversation about mental health and everyday well-being, but it is not therapy. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapist-client relationship, and the information we share is for educational and entertainment purposes only. If you're feeling overwhelmed or struggling with your mental health, please reach out to a qualified professional in your area. Never delay, disregard, or change professional recommendations or advice because of something you've heard here. And please remember that any views expressed are our own and don't represent any licensing boards.
This Way In is co-produced by Brittany Baxter Dameron and me, Amy Lotzberg, at Collected Sounds Media. I also edit and manage the show, which is part of the Collected Sounds Independent Podcast Network.